The story is told of a 19th century missionary to the continent of Africa. As you can imagine, that man saw many things over the years. He had travelled to different areas in that continent. And he records that on one occasion he travelled into a village he had never visited before. He had travelled some distance. He was tired, weary, and hungry. But immediately he sensed that there was hostility towards him. The people of that village did not want to see him. And now not only was he tired and hungry and weary, but now he was frightened. He was apprehensive. What were these people going to do to him? And just at that moment, one poor woman walked out from one of the huts, approached the missionary, and presented him with milk and fruit and meat. She turned on her heels and made her way back towards her home. The missionary was surprised. He called after this lady. He asked her, "Why have you shown kindness to me?" The lady turned towards him, pulled out from her pocket a well-worn copy of the scriptures in the Dutch language. This village, or at least this lady, had been reached by the gospel before, and it had transformed her life. She was a believer. You see the power of God's word here. It completely transforms lives. The word of God, the gospel, goes forth, and God the Holy Ghost applies it to the hearts of sinners. They're brought under conviction, and they're brought to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and repentance. We see the word of God working here, transforming the power of the word of God. And this morning we look at Acts chapter 12 and the verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. A short verse, but a powerful verse. A verse from which we can learn so much. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Together for a few moments this morning, we want to consider the prospering of God's word. The prospering of God's word. And as we look at verse 24, we notice firstly, there's a great contrast. A great contrast. Verse 24 says, but the word of God grew and multiplied. We must read the verses preceding to understand this context. Verse 22, and the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Immediately then we see that this man Herod was a wicked and an evil man. He was accepting the worship of the people, and as a result, he was cut off, he was punished for his sins. We've already commented on the context of this chapter. In the opening verses of this chapter, we see that this man was taking away the lives of the apostles. He had killed James. He wanted to kill Peter. He was a wicked man, and the Lord cut him off in his sin. As we move through the chapter, we see then that there was some disagreement with the people of Tyre and Sidon. The people of Tyre and Sidon relied on Herod, and so they bribed Blastus. And Herod went to these people, delivered a great oration, and he was filled with pride. He was filled with ego, and these people were satisfying his ego. And then we read those horrendous words of verse 22, and the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not of man. Horrendous words. This is sheer idolatry. And Herod is guilty of great sin here. Josephus, the Jewish historian, says that Herod did neither rebuke these people nor reject their flattery. And as a result, a severe pain arose in his belly and began in a most violent manner. what a difference we see when we look at Acts chapter 14. For there we see the apostles in Lystra, and they're performing miracles before the people. And as a result, the people declare that these apostles must be gods. And what do the apostles do? They despair. Acts 14:14, we see they rent their clothes. Acts 14:15, saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We are also men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and sea and all things that are therein." So we see here in Acts 12, Herod, and he's enjoying the worship of men. Not like the apostles, they despair that anyone would look at them. They say, "Don't look at us, look to the Lord. He is the true, he is the living God." We consider Herod and his attitude. We have to say we see something of that attitude in this day and generation. We see celebrities, we see sportsmen, we see political figures, and they relish that individuals think much of them. They love the limelight. They love people to elevate them. They love people to be in awe of them. That's the attitude that Herod had. And it's sad to see that there are those who slavishly follow after these prominent people even today. And you will find people in society and they will hang on every word some prominent person has said. And because that person has said it, it must be right. Never thinking about what's actually been said or what that person has actually done. I say this morning there's a challenge here for those of us who may be in attendance that are still unsaved. You may not be guilty of setting yourself up as an idol for men to fall before. But if you put yourself first, if you serve your own lusts, your own desires, then you're making an idol of yourself. You're like Herod. You're refusing to give God his place. You won't give God the glory, and you're living only for yourself. 10 commandments. The first 4 relate to our relationship with God. And we're reminded there that we're to have no other gods before the living and the true God. We're not to make any graven image. We're not to bow before anything else but the true and living triune God. Why? Because he is a jealous God and he alone deserves our worship. I ask you this morning, unsaved individual, when you look at Herod, when you look at his attitude, he refused to give God the glory. Do you see yourself? Do you see yourself? You refuse to bow before God. You have never submitted to God. You have never come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son. Let's remember what John 14 reminds us of. Christ himself says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus Christ." Unsaved person, this morning your sin condemns you. Justice must be served. Your sin must be punished. You must have peace with God. And if you're going to have peace with God, then you must give God the glory. You must give him his place. You must bow to him. You must submit to him. You must be reconciled to him on his terms. And those terms are plainly laid out in the scriptures of truth. Repent from your sins. Place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Look to Calvary. There Christ shed his blood for sinners. Rose again from the dead. Lives forevermore. Oh, that you would repent, that you would call out in faith to Christ, that you would seek the Lord for forgiveness. The truth is that if you refuse to give God the glory in this life, then like Herod, you'll face death. Only your death will be eternal, spiritual death, in that awful place called hell. But I have to say this morning, there's also an application for those of us who are believers. We look at how Herod acted. He refused to give God the glory. He didn't give God the place that he ought to have in his own life and Herod's life. And isn't it true sometimes, believer, that we get so filled up with ourselves, with our own plans? Sometimes, believer, we can be on this mission of self-promotion. Everyone, look at me. Aren't I great? Look at what I've accomplished in my life. These are my plans. These are my aims. I'm going to accomplish these things. These are my desires. I want to do them. Me, 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 all the time. And believer, we need to remember that we're bought with a price. We need to remember that we must give God the glory. We must submit to his leading and his guiding and his teaching. But we said, of course, there's a contrast here. A great contrast, and so there is. The contrast between this wicked king who was cut off and the word of God, which would surge forth and accomplish what God had planned. That's what we read in verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. There's a contrast. This man, Herod, was wicked. And the Lord cut him off and dealt with him and threw him to the side. But in contrast to that, the word of God went forward and accomplished God's will. It's true to say that we will always find those who seek to stand in the way of God's word. Just like Herod did. Herod was pleasing the Jewish people. They were happy that the gospel was being prevented from being spread. And we live in a society and an age in which governments or movements, all kinds of people will seek to stand in the way of the gospel. Maybe even family members. Maybe even friends and colleagues in the workplace. Don't want to hear this gospel message. Don't want it to have liberty. Don't want people to be converted. Not interested. Don't want to hear that they're sinners. And they'll try to stop it. They'll try to stop the word of God. That's what Herod did. But look what happened. The Lord removed Herod. And the word of God went forward. And it grew. And it multiplied. Believer, there's an encouragement this morning. Despite the attempts of anyone to stand in the way of the gospel, we can look at Acts 12 and we can see a man who tried to stand in the way of the gospel. The Lord removed him and the word of God went forward. Are we not encouraged? One commentator wrote this. I thought it interesting. The worms that ate Herod are set in contrast with the word. Both are God's instruments. Herod might want to destroy the church, but the word of God marched gloriously on. The armed might of government may be mobilized against it, but the word of God knows no boundaries to its empire, no barriers to its progress. Isn't that an encouraging thought? Despite the efforts of men, the word of God will always go forward. Are we not encouraged? You think about the pages of church history. You think about the likes of William Tyndale, a man who sought to have the Bible in English for his countrymen. And he labored for this for years. A man who was persecuted. We read in the history books of the Bishop of London gathering up all these scriptures in English to burn. Tyndale was persecuted. He would pay with his life for this cause. And sitting before you this morning, on your lap in the car, is the word of God in English. We can look at passages of scripture. We can see how wicked men sought to stand in the way of the gospel message. But there's a contrast. Because the Lord deals with those men and he sets them to the side and the word of God progresses. But the word of God grew and multiplied. A great contrast. But secondly, this morning we notice there's a great comfort. A great comfort. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Surely even when we read these words, we are encouraged to think of the power and the authority of the word of God. What a comfort. We read in Jonah that salvation is of the Lord. And the truth is that God has revealed his plan of salvation through the scriptures. The Lord has ordained through the preaching of the word of God that men and women, boys and girls, may be saved. God works through his word. In 2 Timothy 3:15, we read those words, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." The Lord works through his word. God the Holy Spirit applies the word of God to hearts. They're brought under conviction of their sin, and they're drawn unto the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. In the Westminster Confession of Faith, we read the following. "We acknowledge the inward illuminations of the Spirit of God to be necessary for the saving understanding of such things as are revealed in the Word." God works through the Scriptures. It's comforting to be reminded that salvation is God's work. This special revelation, this book, this Bible, the scriptures, it points to the cross of Calvary. It points to our Savior, to the shed blood, to his resurrection. It's comforting to know that salvation is God's work, that he speaks through his word, the Bible. And that's comforting because so often as believers, we feel inadequate in sharing the message of the gospel. I can testify to that this morning. Whether it be standing in a pulpit, whether it be speaking to a person one-to-one, we feel ourselves so inadequate. Perhaps you've spoken to an individual, you've sought to witness, and later on you've thought about what you've said. And you start thinking, well, I should have said this. I should have quoted that verse of scripture. I wasn't clear enough when I said that. The great London preacher, C.H. Spurgeon, testified that on a Sabbath evening, he would go through a period of great discouragement. He would think over the messages that he had preached. He found himself conducting a post-mortem in his mind of the messages. And he was extremely discouraged. Child of God, though we may struggle to present the gospel message at times, we present the word of God to the very best of our ability, and then we trust the Lord. We look at verses of scripture like verse 24 that says, "But the word of God grew and multiplied." You struggle with outreach. We all do. What do you say? Share a verse of scripture and then look to the Lord. Take verse 24 upon your heart in prayer. "But the word of God grew and multiplied." Run to the Lord. Tell the Lord that you've sought to share the gospel in a verse of scripture. And plead this verse. "But the word of God grew and multiplied." Oh Lord, that it would do the same in the life of that individual I have shared the verse with. Do you pray the scriptures? It's always a good thing to pray the scriptures back to the Lord. "The word of God grew and multiplied." Oh, that it would do the same in Market Hill this morning. Sometimes, believer, we'll find ourselves in awful situations. Maybe there's tragedy. Maybe there's heartbreak. Maybe there's some circumstance we never could have foreseen. We don't have the words. People look to us. What do we say as Christians? Share a verse of scripture. And then look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. With verse 24 in your heart. "But the word of God grew and multiplied." Lord, I've shared this verse of scripture. I pray that it'll grow. And that it'll multiply. That you'll take it. And that you'll use it. It's so comforting to know that the Word of God will grow. It will advance. So often we plead those words in Isaiah 55, and rightly so. God's Word will not return unto him void. It will accomplish that what he has planned. It will accomplish his will. The Lord accomplishes his will through the Scriptures. It's comforting, even as a denomination, in these days to be reminded that it is through the Word of God that souls are saved. We look around us today, and oftentimes we see all kinds of efforts being made to fill a church, to fill up the pews. And very often those efforts are made at the expense of the Word of God. Now, don't misunderstand me this morning. We are to take every opportunity that the Lord presents. We are to be wise. And then we are to present the gospel. But that's the key point. We're to present the gospel. We're to open up the Scriptures. We're to point to Christ. We must never stray away from that. We must stay central to the preaching of the Word of God, to Christ crucified. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 5 that we are to search the Scriptures, for they speak of him. What's the language used here in Acts 12:24? The Word of God grew and multiplied. Carrying the meaning there of growing up, of increasing, of abounding, multiplying. Similar word is used in Luke chapter 13. We're taught of the kingdom of heaven. It's like a grain of mustard seed, and it grows, and it becomes a great tree, and the birds of the air lodge in the branches of that tree. How comforting to know that the Word of God will accomplish God's will. The salvation of individuals, the building up of the church. The Word of God grew and multiplied. What a comforting truth. So this morning we have seen there's a great contrast, a great comfort. Finally, we look at a great challenge. A great challenge. But the Word of God grew and multiplied. You say to me this morning, I don't see a challenge in these words. Maybe there's a challenge for someone who has to preach, for a minister, for a missionary, but not for me. I ask you this morning, believer, is that the attitude we see of the Christians in Acts chapter 12? Let's remember again what happened in this chapter. James loses his life because he's faithful. Peter's imprisoned. He's going to lose his life. Only the Lord intervenes. Why? Because he's faithful. The church as a whole in Acts 12 is persecuted. Why? Because they're faithful. And in verse 5, we see the church of Jesus Christ at prayer. They're faithful. At the beginning of this chapter, Herod appears to be in control. He's suppressing the church. But by the end, Herod has been removed and the Word of God is going forward. It's prospering. And I ask you today, Christian, what are we doing as believers? Are we like the church in Acts 12? Are we faithful? Are we praying? Are we seeking to share the message of the gospel? Are we sharing the Word of God? We all know the words of Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But let's read on. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I ask you again this morning, Christian, are you seeking to share the Word of God with those in your circles, with those in your family, with those in your community? We have a responsibility. We must grasp this. As believers, we have a responsibility to share the Word of God. We cannot simply say, well, if salvation is of the Lord, then I'm not going to bother sharing the gospel. It's not up to me. That is not the example of the church in the book of Acts. That is not what Christ commanded. Lord Jesus Christ in the Great Commission said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel to all. Preach it freely. Preach it fully. Preach it faithfully. Christian, we look out upon a world we don't know who will be saved, so we preach the gospel to all. And we pray. We pray over the words we have been considering this morning. But the word of God grew and multiplied. We take that verse and we offer that verse up to the Lord in prayer. That's what we see in the book of Acts. The church at prayer. The church faithful. The church sharing the message of the gospel. And we see the church going forward. The church prospering. The Lord answering prayer. The Lord doing marvelous things. But the word of God grew and prospered. A wonderful, wonderful word of the Lord. Through wisdom, its pages unfold. And we know that when time and the world pass away, God's word shall forever endure.